not middle school. So anyway, stand with us one more time. Some of you are frowning, some of you are smiling. And so I'll say this just one time. I don't want to say it because if I mention it, some of you are going to fixate. It's March. This is like September and October. There's no way to get the air right. It's hot and it's cold. And so please forgive me. If you're hot, we got the AC on one side. We don't have that. We got it circulating, so maybe we'll do that. If you do need to go to sleep, please, please don't snore. It makes me feel insecure. So we'll do that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we stand to honor God and his word. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Say that last word with me. Amen. Say it one more time. Amen. Title of the sermon we're taking right from verse 20. God is able. He is able. He is able. We used this as our theme verse about 4 years ago. Found the banner, put it up there. He is able. God is able. Pray with me one more time. Lord, I'm excited. I may be a little too excited, so help me. Help me settle in. Help me speak clearly. Enunciate well. May the problems of this afternoon not concern me right now. May I preach the word this morning. May I communicate it effectively. And may you be glorified. Father, help us. We have doubts and we have fears, and the unknown terrifies us. But you are able. We have problems and difficulties and medical needs and financial needs, and they worry us, but you are able. We have situations that are spiritual and marital issues and problems connected to our family that we can't fix, but you are able. You are absolutely, positively able. So remind us of that this morning. I ask you to help us. I pray all this in your son's wonderful name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. God is able. God is able. So here's the clinch. If you check out right now, you've still got a good handle on the sermon this morning that God is able. Say, preacher, we were here the other day. We finished the section, but I lightly treated these because I want to do this. If you'll look right this way for a minute, I can help you. We've got special guests next occasion, and then we're going to go really hard into Easter mode. We're going to be looking at some things that I think will be transformed and great reminders of things that God wants to teach us and do in our lives in our run-up to April 16th and 17th, that Easter weekend. And so we want to do that. And so as we're looking at, we're going to put the Ephesians series on pause for a moment, but I wanted to go back to this. For all you musical people out here, this may be a bit of a coda, or a coda de fine, and we look at this here as you come back to it. It may just be a da capo. It may just be a point of emphasis. But whatever it is, it's the great grand swell of chapters 1, 2, and 3. And it's a hard division because he goes from doctrine and the things that are so essential to understand, and he moves to duty. He moves over to action in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And so he takes the foundation that he's got, but there's the briefest of things. And again, it's not a three-act. It really is a two, but just the briefest of moments. And he summarizes. And he summarizes with a great, grand swell. He's been talking about prayer. He's been talking about how we talk to God. And then he just gives it to us. It's almost the flourish. It is the toasted marshmallow in between your graham cracker and chocolate. It is the amazing just touch that he gives to it. And I want to help us this morning. We've been building a case. I suggested to you in the first three chapters there that you can clearly see what some of you were taught maybe in Sunday school. Others of you, this is brand new. But a great way to pray is this little acronym here. Adoration, A. C, confession. T, thanksgiving, and S, supplication. Supplication fits there. We don't say that anymore. We say list. We say praying for someone. We usually talk about a list. I'm interceding for others. A, I adore him. See, I'm confessing my sins. By the way, out of the four there, I think most of the time we struggle with confession, right? Anybody go through a day or a week and you never talk to the Lord about your sin? You may think about other people's sin. Let me help us this morning. I need a hand raised here. How many of you other people's sin bug you more than yours? Sing to. Like four of you. How many of you are hypocritical and you wouldn't raise your hand then? And yeah, and we do. It's easy to spot in others, right? And it's tough to spot in us. I used to say this was Holloman's definition of excuses and problems. You have excuses, and I have problems. I have reasons. Other people make up stuff. That's an excuse. But mine really matters here. And so we adore him. We confess. We offer thanksgiving. Sometimes we treat God like Walmart. Lord, I'd like this, this, and this. And if it's not too much trouble, I'd like it by this evening. We do that instead of just, God, thank you. Thank you. We say it in November. We'll say, if you started thanking the Lord, you'd be going for days and days on end. Then we leave it. And we get into the greed of Christmas. Let me help you. Every day ought to be marked by thanksgiving. Every day ought to be marked by adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every day, most everybody in this room needs to confess to God. God, help me, forgive me, and clean me up. God, I'm sorry for this. And then we pray for others. Is there anything harder, it seems like, than to pray for people that are not part of our little group? Than to get concerned about others? And he walks through this beautiful thing here in the end of chapter 3. And I've given it to you in your notes there. And he says, man, pray for this for other people. Pray for this for the people in your church. Now, I just want to pause to put them all on screen and preach this last occasion. I'm not going to re-preach it, but I want to ask you, how many of you would like to be a part of a church where this is true? How many of you would like to be a part of a family of God where this is true? How many of you would like for this to be true in your life? That what God is doing here. Notice the connection. It's all about prayer. It's all about prayer. Again, refurbishing the lawn, refurbishing outside, doing all those kind of things is marvelous. But it's not anything that's on the screen here. It's not anything that's in the text. Excuse me. If we paint the outside of the building, change the colors, if we put up another new sign, all those kind of things are fun. If we redo the website and launch it, and it's got bells and whistles and things screaming at you and active video, that is not what's on the screen here. And we keep trying to replace what we need, which is the power of God, with all this other jazz, and all this that stuff is fine to have this place, but what we need's on the screen, what we need's in the book here. And I want to encourage you to pray that way, if you're not already. Take it as a challenge. Take it from the text. Pray. Pray for spiritual power. Again, if you need to find it there, it's in chapter 3. Excuse me. Chapter number 3, and go to verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Power. I said it for years. I haven't said it lately because it's been misunderstood. But I promise, it's still true in my heart. I don't want to serve. I don't want to pastor. I don't want to be an assistant pastor, whatever the occasion is in my life, be a professor at a Bible college. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that and not have the hand of God on me. I just refuse to. I refuse. I'll go find an honest job. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to whip it up. I don't want to get it. somebody said, you preach, blah, blah, blah. It's not that I don't know how to get everybody going crazy. I just refuse to emotionally manipulate people. We are a Bible church. We're not a Rodney church. We're not even really a Hardin Valley church. We're trying to be a church that honors Jesus Christ. We're not putting my name on everything. We're not slapping my picture on everything. Because it ain't about me. It's about him. And spiritual power. Spiritual power. To have an active faith. He talks about their faith there. Again, verse 22. Pardon me, excuse me. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Again, he's talking about this faith there. He's talking about you, Christ being at home in your life. He talks about knowing and experiencing the love of Christ and then experiencing the greatness of God through devotion to him. To avoid re-preaching and maximizing our time, I would just encourage you to find the message on our website or on our YouTube channel, and you can see that and be able to see what God was teaching us last time. So if you look at it this way, if we talk about how do we pray, and again, we march through that, looking at those first three chapters. If we talked about what can we pray, And he gives us at least four things we ought to be praying for our church and for others. By the way, there's evangelism in there too. That Christ would dwell in your heart by faith. That is a very great way to say somebody comes to Christ and Christ is at home. Well, then why? Why should I pray? He goes back in verse 13, verse 14. This calls out bow many. Why should I humble myself? Why should I take minutes out of my day? Why should I miss a meal or two? And some of you are missing day of meals a week because you're so impressed and burdened for God to do something great in our midst. Why? Why in the world? Is it so I feel better? Is there a meditative aspect to this? Does my blood pressure go down when I think and pray? Is it the act of writing a list? Is it altruism? I'm concerned about others. Is this all that it is? Is there something to it? Is there something to it? I offer you these two verses. I offer you this decapo. I offer you this mesmerizing, transformative, exuberant look into the heart of this man of God as he gives the great big why in chapter 1, 2, and 3. He spells it out for us that God, that he is able unto him that is able. Why we pray? Because God can. God can. Say, what can God do? Let me give you a great definition. God can do anything according to his character. Do anything according to his character. That means God doesn't sin, doesn't cause other people to sin. God doesn't tempt you. God doesn't put things. God's not the one who makes you stop and stumble. God is for you. God is holy. He cannot do no other. God will do anything according to his character. So how much can he do? How much can he do? He can do more than we can ask. You're in verse 20, aren't you? Look there and see it in the text for yourself. And to know, now to him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, God can do more than you can ask. By the way, aren't you glad that God knows what we need before we talk to him already? Aren't you glad that God's more concerned about you and your needs and other needs than you are? That God is able to do more than you can spill out. More than you can spill out. You ever talk to a little kid and ask him something crazy like, what do you want for your birthday? And then you're like, what did I just do? Or you ask him what they want for Christmas. You ever done that? Perfectly introverted children will lose their mind and their tongue will go into warp drive telling you what they want that they absolutely, positively do not need. Am I the only person who's ever experienced that? You're just making chit-chat, standing in line, going, what do you want? What do you think you're getting for Christmas? Well, and there you go. And I'm Googling half of it because I don't know what they're talking about anymore. And all I know is everything they say, I look at their parent behind them going, well, man, that's expensive, and all those kind of things. And they do that kind of stuff. Most of us have a pretty good idea what we could ask, right? Let me help you. Let me ask you. What's bigger than you are this morning that you need to ask God about? What situation could only be solved by a touch from the hand of God? What are you asking God for? What person in your life you'd love to see come to Christ? What situation is so messy that only God could intervene, and only God would get glory from? Where are you? Yes, I felt that on the stage. If I had hair, it'd stand up. And what situation is there? He can do more than we can ask, we can think. God can do these things. If you look there, you're in Ephesians. Go to chapter 1 just for a second. Ephesians chapter 1. Go to verse number 4. You still with me? Say amen. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, we should be holy, without blame before him in love. God prepared the plan of salvation for us. God saved you to change you. I love what the old preacher said. If you is what you was, then you ain't. That's terrible grammar, but it's pretty good theology. People walking around in their sin with never having experienced life change. Let me help you. You may have had an experience, but you didn't experience salvation. Because God saved you to be holy. He saved you to change your life. And let me help you. Your change may be slow and incremental, but there better be change. 1 John said this is one of the ways we can know that we are in him. He accomplished the plan of salvation. What can he do? He took care of our sin, verse number 7. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You are no longer stained and bloody with the guilt of your sin. He took it on his cross that we sang about so eloquently this morning. And he took what you and I could not do, and that is accomplish our forgiveness and our salvation and our justification. He did all that. What can God? He can do more than you can ask. By the way, if he can take care of all that, he can take care of anything going on in your life. He can take care of anything going on in my life. He's been building the case all throughout, more than we can ask, more than we can think, more than we can imagine, more than we can imagine. You're still there in chapter number 1. Go to verse number 9. Having made known in us the mystery of his will. And if you've got an app, go ahead and flip over there. Having made known in us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. There is, in the plan of God, a time when we will all be, the Jew and the Gentile alike, be together in heaven. He's accomplished all this. Say, what's my future? If you're a child of God, my future is to be with him forever. Somebody used to joke and say, man, my retirement's out of this world. I don't know I agree with all of that, but I sure like the sentiment, amen? And that we are together in him. We've obtained an inheritance. Verse 11, we should be the praise of his glory. Verse 12, he's given us the gospel. Verse 13, he's given us the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, verse 15, we now have love for those who are not related to us. Verse 17, the God of the glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, given to you the Spirit of wisdom, revelation. Let me help you. I can do this for 3 chapters and remind you of the greatness and the power of God. Somebody says, I'm able to do this, and you're interviewing them. You look at their CV and you see, have they ever done anything like that in the past? And the more they've done, the more you're able to go, I trust that this person can do what they're claiming they can do. May I offer you chapters 1, 2, and 3 as evidence that God can do more than you or I could ask or imagine. Packer said it, I quoted it a few weeks ago, there is no building block in our imagination that can fathom who exactly God is and exactly what God can do. And I like that. It's greater than our mind, greater than our imagination. He can do more than we can ask or think. Let me help you here. And there's a positive and negative of that. One of those is God doesn't always do what we're asking him to do. Anybody ever experienced that? Sometimes the best blessing we ever get's God's no. He's got something else for us. He's got something else figured out for us. Sometimes the best blessing is God's no. It's God's no. I've jokingly said, my wife dated exactly 2 people. Didn't take her long to figure out that it was rough out there. And I was the second one. She was tired of dating. She settled. And here we are, 25 and a half years of regret later. On her part, I'm messing. Some of you don't know me. I'm just messing. I promise I am. And if I can get a lift home with anyone, that would be great. I didn't. I was a serial dater and dated a few folks. I didn't have the inner tube I have now, and I certainly had more hair. My eyebrows were about the same, and I had more hair and did that. And so when we met, man, it was a clash of cultures. And I prayed so many times, but this was the one. And God kept going, you great big dummy. There's no way possible that's who you ought to marry. No way, no shape, no how. And I kept trying to tell God, and God kept trying to tell me, listen to me, you big dummy. Move along. And God took me in Pensacola, Florida, and her in Fayetteville, North Carolina, going to sing in a wedding. Started talking. She thought I was arrogant, and I thought she was stuck up. We were both right. And started knitting our hearts together. I had a girlfriend. She was driving me absolutely insane, and I kept pushing the issue. One of my friends said, why do you want to be miserable? I didn't have a good answer. I said, shut up. And we don't say that word anymore since we had kids, but it's okay here. They're older now. did. I remember telling Bobby, shut up, be quiet. And I'm glad for that. There are times, man, God, just all kind of things. Last place in the world we ever thought we'd land, Knoxville, Tennessee. We ate at, what's the Chinese place? Panda Express. We were going through, we're on our way out of town. I had to be back at work Monday morning. We'd come in for our interview weekend. Here we go, Panda Express. My wife, duck sauce, orange sauce, whatever it is, it's overpriced jelly. And we grabbed a jar of it. My wife said, might as well splurge and get a jar of it because we will never be back here. They don't want us, et cetera, et cetera. And, man, that's the most expensive jar of orange sauce we've ever bought. Because in 2 months, we were here. 6.5, almost 7 years later, we are here. We are here having the time of our life, exactly where God wants us. I'm thrilled sometimes that God does more than you and I can ask or think. And that God works things out. Can I tell you one more cool one just real quick? You got a second? Anybody got anywhere to be? Real quick, get a phone call yesterday. I didn't even tell you. The funeral and stuff's on my mind. So a young man that came here from UT College. I was at our group had met in Louisville. I think it was in Louisville. It's somewhere north of here. We'd met for a deal, and I had on the back of the car a Hardin Valley Church sticker with Knoxville, Tennessee. He'd been here a little while, hadn't found a church, apparently didn't know what Google was, and didn't have a church. And so he sees that and says, that's God telling me I need to go to church there. He rolls in, starts bringing people with him. He's here with us till he finishes his degree, actually has his after graduation party here. He's working at a big firm in Nashville. He calls me yesterday. Their church is doing a missions. Their church is doing going to take a missions trip. The one place they were going scuttled. The next place they're going scuttled. So they're going to end up being in our area. And he calls me. He says, Preacher Rodney, he said, we got about 30 or 40 people coming in June. We're going to stay over here. We're going to be close by. We'll be here about 2.5, 3 days. What do you want us to do? I said, well, there's several things we could have you do while you're here. He said, we'll be here Sunday morning. Is that okay? I said, come on. Let me help you. They're paying their own way. They're bringing the Marines kind of people from their church. They're going to bring craftsmen and skilled laborers and people who work with children. They're going to bring people who like to sing. They're bringing the whole gang here and going to bless us for 3 or 4 days. And said, can you think of something for us to do? You ought to see the post-it note I wrote out last night. That's God at work, isn't it? More than we can ask or think, you can trust him. By the way, in the temple of Diana and all the prostitution and all the witchcraft and all the stuff, he says he is more powerful and the power that's in you is greater than what's going on out there. Why? Because God is at work and he can do because he is able. How will he do more? Because of his power. Because of his power. How will he do it? He'll do it through his people. The fact that you and I, not angels, you and I, not rocks, you and I, and not other things, that God uses us. Let me help you. And God uses you. God wants to use you. God's using you to be a blessing. God's using you to be a witness. God's using you to staff the classes. God's using you to help out in junior church. God's going to use you to get on the stage and help sing. God is using you in your job. God is using you to help out that family situation. God is using you. He does that through his power. How will he do more? He's going to do more this way. Go to verse 20. You're still there, aren't you? He has what? I keep saying verse 20. Flip over there. More than we ask it, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us. Say it's the preacher. That's fine. That's not true. Say the preacher's family. That's fine. It's not true. It's you. It's you. God wants to use you. God's put you as a missionary. It's your work. God's put you as a missionary in your family. God's put you there. God wants to do all these things through you. That's health and wealth. That's nowhere close. Paul's in prison. Paul's been in prison twice. He's been beaten and shipwrecked. He is not the poster child for health and wealth. Instead, he's the poster child for the Holy Spirit and power. And he believes in that through prayer that God is doing all this. I want my life to be consequential. Let me help you. A-C-T-S. Let's pray. Let's pray. God's not moving in this situation. Again, we get real desperate. We pray for a second or two. The band-aid comes on, then we stop praying. That is not what he's talking about here. By the way, that is not obeisance to the God of the Bible. He is worthy. If we can't give him 5 or 10 minutes a day, I don't know what kind of hubris we're experiencing. Tip our hat to God. I said it the other day. We bow to pray over the food. Sound like somebody had a long sneeze and mumbled. But God help us. You are worthy. And I am not. I am sinful, and you are holy. I have all these blessings, and I don't deserve a one. And God, I know people, and boy, they need your help. And it is my privilege to come alongside of them and to pray for them. How will God do more and do more through his power, through his people? And so how do we respond? How do we respond? You still with me? Say amen. We're going to learn that word here in just a second. How do we respond? We respond with praise. Respond with praise, our life and our lips. I've said it before, but if you'll allow me to say it again. I really am hesitant to tell people that I'm a pastor or preacher. If I tell people I'm a reverend, it's already over. Because people get silly when they hear those words, right? Ron and Angie, are you the preacher? And I caught myself again. There's no way to deny it in here, you know, and I almost didn't say it. And, you know, because everybody's nuts about it, you know. Dude will be just dropping F-bombs and S-bombs and talking about this and whistling at somebody who's not his wife. And then, what do you do for a living? And I want to, you know, I'm a carpenter. What do you do for a living? And I'll say I work at a church. Sometimes that slips it in. But, man, they put all those dots together. And the same guy who 30 seconds before was uttering a stream of profanity will say, well, praise the Lord, brother. And I want to go, he's about to turn you into a greasy spot, and I'm worried I'm going to be collateral damage. I mean, that's where I was going through my... Anybody ever experienced that? Dude say all this mess, or lady say all this mess, and then you know, well, just praise the Lord. I'm like, what is wrong with your brain? Are you having a stroke or something? Sweet water and bitter ought not to come out of the same fountain. God's changing your life, man. He ought to be changing your mouth. Somebody say amen to that. Man, what I do and how I live ought to praise him. Ought to praise him. How you doing there? See, because prayer erupts in praise. That's what he's doing. Now unto him be glory. In the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages. I don't know what I'd do if in a few weeks we were able to put together a complete instrumental section. Piano, guitar, bass, flute, clarinet, oboe, comb. I don't really care what it is. But you can praise God under a tin roof in a cinder block building, and it's 104, because I've done it. And some of the sweetest praise I ever heard, some of the worst conditions I've ever been in. And we think, man, if we just gin it up really good, praise erupts from prayerful mouths. Praise erupts. Now unto him be glory. You follow his train of thought, and what's left? To praise him. Let me help you. He's not just starting it right now. Your Bible's open. Go to chapter 1, verse 12. He's been saying it all along, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he's made it accepted in the beloved. Verse 14, chapter 1, which is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Verse 18, to about the riches of his glory. I can keep going. He's been saying it all along. To know doctrine is to erupt in praise. To know who Jesus is to erupt in praise. What do you mean? I think there's a couple ideas. One is I want to give the right opinion of him. If people judge Jesus Christ by how you carry on yourself, what opinion of Jesus do they have? Unto him be glory. Unto him be glory. Let me give you that verse to pray every morning. Unto you be glory today, Lord. Whatever I do today, whatever I type today, whatever I look at today, however I interact today, unto you be glory, Lord. Say, how am I going to do that? You're going to do that because you're going to pray first. Because that ain't natural. What's natural is me get glory. What's natural is people think a lot of me. What's natural is for me to be the hero of the story. Jesus is to be the hero of the story. And to him be glory with our life and lips in the church. The church ought to be about Jesus. The church ought to be about making much of Jesus. I've said it before. I like pats on the head. I like somebody squeezing my cheek when I was younger. Don't really care for it as much as now. I like the text message. I think we ought to encourage one another. And heaven forbid I tell you not to do that to somebody like me. But I want people to leave going, Jesus was magnified this morning. Jesus was magnified Wednesday night. Jesus was magnified through the online stuff. Jesus is magnified through this. When you leave here, you go, man, we made much of Jesus today. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing in the church. Somebody say amen to that. In the church, because of him. I've walked you through a lot of that. Because of him. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Brother Blair's got one of his favorite songs. He told me repeatedly, we could sing that every Sunday and you'd never hear it from me. Any complaint? Why? Because it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. By the way, when you listen to Christian radio, Southern Gospel, whatever you're listening to, you remember, if all the songs are all about you and they're not about him, you need to find a different station, find a different artist. Because it ain't about me, and they ain't love letters to anybody. Excuse me, they need to be singing about Jesus. We try and sing some hymns, a little bit newer. We try and do all that, but the whole focus is on Jesus. It's on him. How can we lift him up and then do it forever? The ages. John MacArthur said, and I love it, heaven is to be rehearsal. Excuse me, the church is to be rehearsal for heaven. There'll be things we'll never do because I don't think we'll do them in heaven. Be some things we may do a little differently throughout. But I don't want to do anything here that I don't think I'd be ashamed to do in front of Jesus. By the way, I'm doing it in front of Jesus anyway because it's his church. He's in the church. We get to do it forever. There's that beautiful word, amen. I'm done. So be it. I agree. Yes to what you said. Yes to what we sung. Amen. I agree. By the way, when we pray, because of him, we've kind of modified it in English. We say in Jesus' name. We're really saying because of what Jesus did, we get to pray. Amen. Amen. I have a question for you. It's on your sheet. I think I've got it on the screen. What will you pray about? Who will you pray about to the one who's able? What will you pray about to the one who is able? What situation is God-sized? Your church, 50,000 people live within 5 miles of this building, physical, spiritual, marital, familial, vocational, what will you pray about that is God-sized? And by the way, and I think the psalmist teaches you go ahead and praise him in advance. Because he's got it handled, positive or negative. We may not like the answer, but he does better than we can ask or think. So we pray anyway. Would you pray with me right now? Bow our heads just for a second. I'm so excited about this passage and what we've been learning, what I've been learning. I know I talked a little fast this morning. Thank you for letting me do that. Hopefully not too loud. We challenge some of our leaders. We don't want a service to go by without praying. Praying for our hiring needs. We want someone. Take our children, youth